The National Abortion Access Bullathon is here.
Every April, supporters like you, the listeners, fill the budgets of local abortion funds in an awesome display of collective power.
Online and at over 60 events, they're raising $2 million for people who need abortions.
Bring the fun to fundraising with teams like Gay Witches for Abortion, Black Girl with a Y, GYRL Magic, and Thoughts and Spares.
I like these names. What would our bullathon team name be? I didn't give you any time to plan this.
We can't even name our fucking fans.
That's true.
We can't even name our fans. It's going to be... I don't think we can do this now.
You're right.
It would be the race cars.
It would be the wokey dokes.
Every time.
Guys, abortion gets harder to access every day. I mean, it may not seem obvious to you if you live in a place where it seems legal and maybe feels like it might be easy or...
That you're safe and you have the support of the community. And that's not true for, women in many parts of this country.
You cross a state line and everything changes. So
I think this is supposed to be a quick ad, but I just want to say, I think for both of us, this is a very important issue. We both are very close to people who are high up in the fight for abortion access, I guess. They're more primarily focused on the fight for abortion access. And this is a way, this and things like this are a way you can help. If you're feeling helpless, do this.
Join today at bowlathon.nnaf.org. That's bowlathon.nnaf.org. And follow on social media at #bowl19.
Yo, what's up? You are listening. Still listening to Yo, Is This Racist? You haven't stopped. You're not able to. You'll never, ever stop.
Oh. I don't know why you weren't listening before, but for some reason you just started and you have a long queue of episodes.
You sure do. There's a lot of funny shit and, you know what? Also a lot of depressing shit in there. It's interesting. It's interesting, this show we've made.
You could just like kettle corn.
Kettle corn.
That's what we are.
Well, we're off to a fantastic start.
As Andrew said, this is the show, Yo, Is This Racist? This is where me, Tawny Newsom, and him, Andrew T, take your racism voicemails with the help of a special guest. But first, we get into some personal bullshit and some news.
Are we doing big news week, but also big personal bullshit week?
Yeah,
I guess we got
to
start
for the two to coincide.
Okay, we'll figure that out. We'll make it happen. Everyone was on vacation somehow last week.
I know. We did not plan that. Like a normal corporation, I feel like, puts like restrictions on that. So like the whole, like all of, you know, Colgate just all leave the country at the same time. We did not figure that out.
Because what would happen to your teeth? Colgate's missing. Tawny, you've been all over the place-ish. What have you been doing? Tell people what you've been up to.
Well, last week, you guys heard from me in sunny New York City, the big onion, as they call it.
Yeah, and, delicious.
Then I just bite into that onion.
Crunch.
Then I left that place. I flew to Barbados. Yes, the home of Rihanna. Mm. Yes, they did play Rihanna as we stepped onto the plane. Yes, they did play Rihanna in the airport as we stepped off the plane. Yes, there was a huge poster of Rihanna welcoming you to Barbados. I'm not kidding.
I love a hometown hero, to be honest. I like when people are like, yo, this is our best foot forward. Here we go.
Here we go. Here go Rihanna. But that was really just a layover type destination, which my friend and I extended into a full day and a half because I've been trying to get to Dominica, the Caribbean Isle that's between, I don't know, Guadeloupe and like Martinique kind of type deal. Not to be confused with the Dominican Republic. This is the nature island. It's where I'm sitting right now. It's the wildest place I have ever been. It is the most stunning landscape. It is just like mountains erupting out of the sea. But nothing here is as you expect it. I have never been somewhere more wild or remote than this.
It looks amazing. The pictures look amazing. Tawny also got basically an 18-month-old child just decided new mom.
Oh, yeah. He just grabbed me and his parents were confused. I was confused. He just sat in my lap, while I tried to eat a mahi-mahi fish dinner. this whole place is just wild. We hiked to a boiling lake. It's a whole ass lake. The whole thing is boiling. I'm just like, why have we let this be here?
Man.
But my favorite thing that I have to chime in about, and we got to, you know, Jordan's not back yet. So we got to get a full check-in when everyone's back. But my favorite thing to happen to me here was being in a minivan, because there are these minivans that are basically like kind of like local buses. Like you just wave your hand on the side of the road. And then if there's room in the minivan, you get in, you pay like $1. And we're riding around and it was just me in the minivan and my friend, and these boys, these like teen boys leaned out of a bar. And as we passed by super slowly, they just looked me in the face and go, "Hey, Whitey." And I burst out laughing, then they burst out laughing, and I was like, you know, I don't know what happened here. I don't know if you guys see enough tourists in these types of vans, because like this place is not very touristed, but like for this particular area, I was like, I wonder if you saw this van and expected to see a white person, so you had like your yell like preloaded.
Sure.
And then when you met eyes with me, we both just had a nice laugh. Or so that's one option. But the other wild idea I had was like, yeah, like comparatively, like privilege wise, I might as well be a fucking white person here. Like I, you know, me and the black people here, we have not a ton in common. So I was just kind of, I was like, I'm okay with whatever wild instance this is, but that's the first time I've ever had anyone shout the word whitey in my face.
That is pretty stellar, I have to say. I knew this is good. I'm glad you came so locked and loaded with a racism tale from the road or whatever.
Oh, man.
Is that even a racism tale? I guess just a race tale from the road.
I think it's more a class and privilege tale. I don't know, but it was, it shocked me. It took the wind out of my lungs. Andrew, what about you?
Well, I had not exactly a vacation. I got out of town for a couple of days, but it was not like a planned thing. Literally, Tawny's husband texted me and was like, "Yo, Tawny's out of town. Do you want to go camping?" And I was like, Yes. I mean, I can fucking bring my laptop anywhere. But yeah, it was great. We went out to the scrublands and made fires and it was fucking dope. It was really fun.
The pictures of that looked cool. Nate said, or maybe you told me, you guys cooked a whole crab on the open fire.
Two whole crabs. One for the each of the baby boys up in the desert. We had desert crabs. Yeah, it was fucking great. It was so
fun.
And
then you made some kind of like super cool soup.
Well, it was hot pot. We made hot pot. So it was actually like the cauldron was boiling. This is Chinese shit. And then you dip like thinly sliced like raw meats into it and eat that out of the cauldron or out of the pot. It was dope.
See, the Chinese would have been the best frontier settlers. Why didn't y'all settle this land?
Actually, glad you brought that up. There's a little thing called the Chinese Exclusion Act passed around 18... I almost was able to follow through on that.
I recall learning about it, but I don't know when it was either.
Somewhere in there. But yeah, it was Chinese. I mean, kind of Chinese cowboy shit. Hot pot is apocryphally like Mongolian food. Mm. So when people say Chinese cowboys, a lot of that's kind of the enemy of the Chinese, to be honest. But you know what? It's Chinese-ish now. I don't know the history.
Hey, man.
Please
ask me. The only enemy of the Chinese now are just... white supremacists?
And
I don't know. Oh yeah, and notoriously. You had a real white people cabin vacay yourself, huh?
Yeah, I was in Big Bear for basically all of last week.
Hey, Whitey.
Yeah. I think I had a little bit of an advantage because I went to school in the mountains and I was also born in the mountains. So like it's a lot of like the side eye racism where like they see a large black person and like they're nice to you, but you can see behind them they want to ask me if I played football or like why I'm in this town.
Yeah.
That is true though. You did get in a little altitude training and that's the important thing.
Yeah, 7,000 feet is pretty high.
Oh, man, oof. That is high. Yeah.
That's a lot.
That shit makes you lightheaded just like standing around.
Yeah, man.
And then engineer Jordan is fully, is she in the, where is she? She's in on a beach somewhere?
Is she in Mexico?
I think she was in Clearwater, Florida.
She's in Florida. I guess we should pivot to racism news, even though Vacation Update was very good. Good and
fun. Yeah, well, I'll have more when we when Jordan comes back. We'll do another check-in because I have even more stories about this. Well, I'll save.
Racism news. Fucking pretty whack-ass week. I don't even know how to organize this. I guess I'll start
with...
Yeah,
no, go ahead.
I was going to start with the one that I talked... I'm selfishly... It was just top of my head, so... but this is quick because it's not maybe that serious. The Lucky Lee's, this, like, racist-ass Chinese restaurant opened in New York...
No, Andrew, it's healthy. It's community. It's so, good for your body.
Basically, it was like a white lady, you know, kind of merging the clean eating trend and but using a lot of like words, you know, essentially using all the stereotypes of Chinese food, that it's bad for you, that it's dirty, that it's, you know, blah, 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 like trotting out some tired and racist and incorrect MSG stereotypes. Can't reiterate this enough. If you think Chinese food makes you feel bad because of the MSG, I got bad news for you about literally every processed food that is good.
Yeah, literally every bag of anything you've ever grabbed for yourself at a gas station.
Like a fuckload of MSG in it. So guess what? Yeah. It's not the MSG, assholes. And it's not anything. It's a... not placebo effect, but whatever. The opposite of placebo effect. That's why Chinese food, quote unquote, makes you feel bad. Yeah, but it was just one of those things. I had forgotten about this because it happened like while we were camping. InsideEdition.com reached out to me for a comment. I have no idea. I think it's Entertainment Tonight.
Damn it.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing that made it, I sent them a couple paragraphs and then promptly forgot that I'd written anything. But, you know, I smarter and more articulate people in longer form forums have had a chance to write about this. But, you know, it's the thing, you know, it's a great example of the cultural appropriation thing where this white lady, it was a Jewish lady who, you know, Jewish Americans have a tradition, you know, a relationship with Chinese American food, which I understand. And you know, I know that a lot of like American Jewish people like feel a lot of ownership over Chinese food. But, you know, it was this thing where, you know, people got mad at her and then she released the kind of like non-apology that people when they do this shit always do. It's like, I'm sorry if you're offended. We're just trying to like honor, you know, this type of food. And we know that. And it's this thing where... I think for me, a thing that kind of a couple things really solidified for me with this. One is that like this is why we don't let the racists define like what's in their heart. Because I'm positive this lady did think she was honoring Asian people, Chinese people on some level.
Sure.
But
she grew up eating it. So she thinks like, I have a proximity to this food, which is another thing I wish we would say instead of like ownership or like an understanding. I wish we'd say things like, oh, because I grew up black, like I have a proximity to things that are, I don't know, fill in the blank, but whatever. Yeah,
to black shit.
Yeah.
That's how that sentence should end.
Yeah, right, exactly. But like what you're saying about like Jewish Americans feeling an ownership over Chinese food, it should just be like, no, you've had a proximity to it.
Yeah.
Because of cultural things that brought you in its orbit.
Yeah. Well, but it's and the other thing too is like this woman is like so ignorant. She doesn't even know what she doesn't know. Like I can, you know what I mean? She can fully be like in her heart, like believing she's honoring and elevating Chinese food and blah, 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 or Chinese culture. But she doesn't even know like what is fucking wrong with what she did. And that's kind of the reason why it's like that's why you don't let the racists define the terms. You know, the thing that I wrote to Inside Edition that they didn't make it to their webpage was it's telling that this woman like thinks she's honoring Chinese culture, but clearly doesn't even have enough Chinese friends that someone could tell her why this is a bad idea.
Right.
Like, that means you are not honoring Chinese culture. And then, and so, and this is where I'm about to maybe step in some dangerous waters, but I kind of wanted to go there for a second, which is like, I and this will dovetail into later shit a little bit, maybe. But like, you know, there's a question that gets asked a lot on this show is like, you know, are Jewish people white or white Jews? Obviously, there are lots of Jews who are just not white in any way. And you know, and this sort of dovetails to an opinion I've been trying to figure out how to articulate as far as Asian people go. And I think this lady kind of helped me figure this out, which is like, you know, obviously, and there's anti-Semitism in the world. That is, you know, a real problem. And that is why, you know, Jewish people are not white in some regards. But, and this holds true for especially East Asian people. Again, I'm related to a lot of the fucking races. It's that here's when you're white. You're white when you're shitting on other people of color. Like, this lady in this capacity is being white as fuck. The same way that when my, you know, racist relatives express like anti-blackness or anything like that, mm-hmm. they are also being white and they're being fucking racist. I think that's my new line. I'm sure there's some logical problem with this, maybe on some level. I don't fucking know, but it like feels right, you know? And I like it. It's just like the first time I've been able to articulate that. It's like this lady, when she talks, when she was making her excuses for this like racist restaurant, mm-hmm. I was like, you're being a white lady right now, mm-hmm. you know?
For sure. So, like when the white nonsense is high in me and in my heart, I feel it.
Yeah.
I like to try to recognize it.
But yeah, I think that's my new fucking metric, which again, I'm sure there's loopholes and issues with it, but that was like a real fucking thing for me. All right. So that was the probably lighter side of the news.
Well, we got to talk about Holden Matthews, the deputy son in Louisiana, who is the suspect arsonist in the burning down of 3 black churches.
Yeah. So we mentioned the story last week. There wasn't a suspect yet. And we both like maybe in a news sense irresponsibly speculated. But, you know, I think realistically we're fine that it was racist somehow. Guess what? Clearly fucking racist.
Yeah. I mean, like in a news sense, maybe it's irresponsible, but in a 2 comedian yahoos who host a podcast, which the only criteria for being a podcast host is just being able to talk.
Yeah.
I think we were well within our boundaries.
Yeah.
So this kid burned down these 3 black churches.
He's 21 years old. He's a fucking racist man.
Let me not infantilize him. But what I found interesting about the story is that they, you know, I'm reading on NPR, which tends to be better about these things than other places. They still have their issues. But they had a lot of information about how he was linked to Nordic black metal.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I have mixed feelings about this, quote, explanation for why people do, like, racist, fucked up acts of terror.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of people who listen to this weird-ass black metal, you know, quote, devil-worshipping, whatever, satanic music, even though it is very anti-Christianity, and even though it has a tradition of inspiring violence, of suggesting violence, like a lot of these old Nordic bands definitely do talk about, like, specifically burning down Christian churches. Sometimes it's related to race, sometimes it is not, because in Norway, like, there aren't a ton of black people for them to really be encouraging specifically, like it's mainly targeting Christianity. So the link to him being a fan of black metal, I feel like, is a red herring, because what we should be talking about is the fact that he sought out black churches. He didn't just burn down churches. So I don't really give a fuck if he listened to Slayer. Like, I don't give a fuck at all. And Pierre kept talking about how he's the lead singer for this shit black metal band he started called the Vodka Vultures, which I'm just like, that's like something... That's like a group of women from like a Sex in the City cosplay fucking, like, that's like a black metal name, first of all. But like, I just think it's a diversion. Like, I don't care about the music.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in a little bit further and say, and I tweeted this from the Yo, Is This Racist account. I think, and this dovetails with the thing that we talked about with Emily Heller like a couple weeks, maybe a month ago now, wherein I think the thing that they're missing is like, because this kid had a bunch of like, you know, I worship Odin stuff. And, you know, I actually think that the Norwegian version of this is also racist. But this, again, is that code that I was talking about where white supremacists embrace Odinism or like, you know, Nordic religion or whatever. So I actually think that the like angle isn't like, oh, the metal part of it. It's that this is a clear and existing, and I know it's not super common, but like, guess what? If you're gonna cover like racists like this, like you have to know this shit, I think. Well, whatever. But I'm like, yeah, the kid was, you know, in a open white supremacist band that used open white supremacist code. Sure, it's a code, but it's like, again, I had cracked this code in like 2004, so fucking catch up, NPR, I guess. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just like, you know, it's not in this NPR story, but other shit I saw around made it more obvious that it's like, yeah, this kid was using that exact code I was talking about on the previous episode of like Odinism and like, you know, it's about the purity of this kind of shit. So
yeah,
it's open white supremacist rhetoric. And that's why, in my opinion, the metal thing is a red herring. It's not the music. It's that music has been co-opted for fucking decades now. Like, so, you know, it's just, to me, it's upsetting because I'm like, if, you know, the allegedly liberal ass NPR can't, you know, get its shit together to cover this, you know, correctly, to cover white supremacist arson of three black churches, how the fuck are we ever going to talk about this?
I think because there's something salacious for like white liberal nerds who, you know, I can be one. We can all be a nice white liberal nerd every now and then.
Yeah,
we love it. We're into it. We went camping. I went hiking. We're all white liberal nerds. I noticed this a lot with like the salaciousness of like metal music. You know, it harkens back to like play this record backwards and it'll tell you to kill yourself. Like these types of vibes that are like, they love reporting on this shit, which is like, that's not what we're talking about. I don't give a fuck about, like, literally in the NPR article, it's like, there's selfies on his Instagram of him playing the guitar. It's like, what century is this? How old are you that you feel that you still have to link the guitar with, like, no, talk about his racism.
Yeah.
Talk about the fact that he is a racist and that he is using symbols and things to bolster his racism.
Yeah.
I don't care about the symbols.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, to me, maybe I'm being unfair, but to me, this feels purposefully obtuse. Like, speculating about the music part of it.
They just know it's exciting.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, retiree, in Chicago, we used to call them Lakeshore Drive liberals, like North Shore.
Yeah.
Just like wealthy, well-meaning people that love to read about black metal music because it sounds dark and intriguing.
It's fucking disgusting.
It's boring. It's dumb. There's no melody. You don't need to care about this music.
Yeah.
It sounds like a bunch of dishes being thrown down the steps.
The music is whatever. The Nordic shit is the important part. And too many fucking, sorry, the Nordic shit vis-a-vis its relationship to American white supremacists. Sorry, Nordic listeners. I will say, when we did that thing with Emily Heller, people wrote in and was like, oh, we've been trying to like get this out of the Nordic, you know, community or whatever. And I was like, motherfucker, don't talk to me. I could not be further racist. Don't give a shit what I have to say. Ugh.
Absolutely. Like, are you kidding me? I would give anything for like the black Hebrew Ishmaelites not to like wear head wraps and like all the Hoteps not to like wear, like, get off my like black person shit so that we don't look alike in the world.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Like, take it up with them. Take it up with the hate groups that are adopting the things you like.
Yeah, seriously. What else? The Ilhan Omar shit continues to be, I mean, look, now at least things are like solidified. It's clear there's one right side and one wrong side. And Obviously, you know, Donald Trump and Republicans are on the wrong side. A depressing number of Democrats are also on the wrong side of this. Fuck everyone who's attacking Representative Omar. But like,
such a stupid mess.
Yeah.
It's not gray.
Yeah. It's just not. It's like disgusting. It's Islamophobic. It's racist. It's sexist. Is there anything else to say about it? I guess it's just like one of those things where it's like anytime fucking, especially someone like a racist like Donald Trump, who gives a shit about, you know, talks about September 11th. It's like, truly fuck you. What if people are
tuning into this podcast just hoping that we'll do jokes? What if they're hoping for that? What can we get? What can we possibly hand them?
Oh, God. Well, let's see. Is this the lighter side? This like opera news story you sent?
Oh, sure. I always say this wrong. I don't know if it's Porgy and Bess or Porgy and Bess, despite the fact that I've been in musical theater most of my life unwittingly.
It's Porgy. Pretty sure it's Porgy. So I didn't know this. Maybe you did. The Gershwin Estate requires performances of Porgy and Bess to be performed by an all-Black cast. Did you know that?
Yeah, or at least majority Black. Yeah. So when you have, musicals that aren't governed by an estate anymore, like even if it's just like a Samuel French production of whatever the fuck, they have requirements on like, and it's usually not race-based, just because like so many musicals were just so white, like they didn't have a reason to, but they have very specific instructions of like, this must never be done in the round, or like they'll have like a weird archaic requirement and stuff.
Sure.
And you can't get the license to perform that musical unless you meet, you know, like certain musicals say like you can't have it performed for a certain number of seats, like it can only be performed for this number of seats or more or less or whatever. So what this group in Hungary tried to do is have their cast sign like an affidavit claiming to be not just of Black descent, not just of African descent, of African American descent.
Yeah.
And they, like 15 out of 28 of them signed it in order to perform this thing. I think it got shut down because I think someone found them out. They moved it and they turned it into like an unlicensed, unofficial production with the cast performing shit based off of like photocopied sheet music, because you can't even get the proper sanctioned sheet music from the estate unless you're doing like the real like official show where you've paid the rights. They know that you're, because you know, like living playwrights and stuff, they can check in on their work. Like they can check in and say like, is this production that requested the license to perform this actually doing what they said?
This is fucking disgusting.
But it's complicated because Porgy and Bess was definitely written by three white people. So it was the Gershwins, it's George and Ira. But then it was also the novelist DuBose Hayward, because he'd written the novel. So he contributed to the book for it.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if that's that much more complicated.
Well, no, I don't mean that it's complicated. I mean that it's kind of like funny to me that it's like these three just picture this, in 1935 these three white dudes are going, we're writing about the Black experience and only Black people can do it. So what the Hungarian opera house is doing is saying basically like, hey, these white people wrote this, so how dare you say that white people now can't do it, which it's like, I
would just say the multiple statements from the fucking racist ass general company, the general director of the opera company, Sylvester Okovac, fucking racist piece of shit. I'm not going to read the statements, but they're like, it's like the classic, like white racist gets called out like, oh, what are you saying this? And then he calls us. Do you not think this whole rotten and odorous provision should be ignored by all opera houses? I mean, it's basically like it distills down to this is racist against white people.
Right. Well, and he also said this is what really made me mad in it. Almasi Toth. About the production said, this piece has almost disappeared from the world of opera because of the well-known legal restrictions. So what he's basically saying is, this has almost disappeared from the world of opera because no one can bother to find enough Black people to do it.
Yeah.
But he's saying it's because of the legal restrictions. And it's like, no, dude, just find Black opera singers. They exist. I've met at least 10 of them, and I'm not anywhere near related to opera. So if I've met 10, the people whose job it is to cast operas can probably find 30. Like, it's, just do the opera.
It's, I mean, I don't know. This was supposed to be the funny version. I mean, look, famously racist Eastern Europe doesn't really get a fucking say in any of this. But, you know, this just all gets back to, like, this is why we don't let racists define the terms of their racism.
No. Because
it's like they'll just sputter and make excuses and claim they're good people. And guess what? They're fucking not. Oh.
Do we have any jokes?
God, we have to re-depressing this. As we're recording this, a couple days earlier than usual, or a day earlier than usual, I guess. The Notre Dame Cathedral is on fire. That's just depressing. The only really relevant part to this podcast is, you know, it is currently on fire. And already there's like Twitter racist Richard Spencer, Ben Shapiro, a Jewish guy who is acting in his capacity as a white racist, talking about how, you know, this is like an assault on Judeo-Christian or like white culture or whatever. Fuck those fucks. You know, I also obviously, like, without getting too into it, like, the phrase Judeo-Christian culture just to mean, like, you know, white racists is fucking hilarious to me, because it's like, hey, Ben Shapiro, I don't want to get too into it, but the people who originally built the Notre Dame Cathedral would not be so into your ass.
Ooh.
You know, again, I forgot who said it on Twitter. I'm stealing this joke, but it's like the people who built it were not as invested in the Judeo part of Judeo-Christians, if you know what they're saying.
True.
But whatever. Fucking racism makes fucking odious bedfellows.
Now, odious bedfellows, is that a cool Nordic
We're going to have to. But we got to have Marquis Richardson on the show this week.
Oh God, he'll save us. That's right. I can't think.
He was so funny. Well, one serious thing is we did want to replug, go to the Jordan Edwards Memorial Scholarship.com, to just find out more about that. You'll find out in the episode, I believe, but I just wanted to make sure we had, said the link out loud. So again, the Jordan Edwards Memorial Scholarship.com. Everything is spelled exactly the way you think. And with that, here's Marquis and us.
Today, 43% of college grads are working underpaying jobs that don't require a degree.
That's right. And there are more than 200,000 unfilled tech jobs in high-growth, exciting industries in cities across the U.S.
Should we quit this and do that?
Oh, I already did. I've been logging off doing a little web development.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And, I'm going to go with...
Just say letters. C++.
Letters. Data science.
Sure.
Oh, wow. What's happening?
That's good. So you've been doing that in addition to this podcast.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
instead
tough.
Of really. I've been coding the whole time we've been sitting here reading these ads.
That's why I hear so many keystrokes.
Tick, 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 tick.
Look, the future of work is changing rapidly, and Flatiron School can give you the skills to build a career you love.
With courses in software engineering, data science, and UX UI design, Flatiron School is helping bold print, change the future.
Future.
By providing the skills students need to succeed in the modern workforce.
I recently learned that UX and UI are very different skill sets. So if you do one of those and not the other one, know that we see you, we hear you, and I'm sorry we bumbled them together. You're valid, different humans. They're very different. Whatever.
I refuse to get on this train with you, Donnie.
I'm just trying to
They're the same.
Tech people that we see you. I see that user experience and user interface are different skill sets and require different things.
Experience and interface.
You know what else Flatiron School is doing, which is very germane to this show? They're also driving diversity in tech through scholarships like the 50-50 gender parity scholarship and the income share agreement to reduce upfront costs and provide a flexible financing option.
I will say, honestly, I did for my early 20s right out of college do a little computer programming as my job.
And see, I knew it.
It's way better when there are more women around.
Oh, I'm sure.
And just less like straight white dudes.
I'm sure.
It just is a better vibe.
Yeah.
Best of all, Flatiron School grads work one-on-one with a dedicated career coach to land a job after they graduate or their money back.
Complete details are available at flatironschool.com/terms.
Change things. Join the school of the future today.
Future. Learn more at flatironschool.com/yo.
That's flatironschool.com/yo. Yo. Hulu's newest original series, Rami, premieres April 19th. That's 2 days from now, assuming you're listening to this the day it comes out, or it's tomorrow if you're listening to this the day after it comes out, or I'm going to tell you, it might be today if you're listening to this 2 days after this episode comes out.
Or what if you're like a wild maniac?
All right.
I only listen to podcasts on Saturdays.
Oh, my gosh.
This shit came out yesterday.
There's so many options. Time is just a fascinating thing, the way it moves.
Yes, it is. Look, Rami is based on the real life experiences of comedian Rami Youssef. This groundbreaking comedy series takes viewers into the world of a first generation American Muslim on a spiritual journey in his politically divided New Jersey neighborhood.
Rami brings a fresh new perspective to the screen as the series explores the challenges of what it's like to be caught between an Egyptian community that considers life a moral test and a millennial generation that thinks life has little to no consequences.
The series features postmodern meditations on love, work, and identity through the eyes of a modern-day Muslim American millennial and his family, and explores how challenging it can be to find deeper meaning in today's hyper-connected world. Because, guys, I don't know about you, if you're not a millennial, or you don't identify with the ways of the millennials, which even though technically, Andrew, you and I are, isn't that trippy that we're technically millennials? But
Generations are ridiculous.
They're wild.
Nothing makes
sometimes
sense.
Sometimes whenever people talk about millennials, I feel like, well, that's not me. I want a hot decaf tea every night.
Well, millennial is a little bit like the word hipster. It's like everyone else is a millennial, just not you, no matter what.
Oh, I want to be a hipster. That's all I want. I just want dumb hats and you know, a single origin coffee.
Oh, man. But most importantly, I think the thing is, it's Rami is a show that, you know, it's as our show likes to explore diverse perspectives and like show stuff. We're all about showing new shit on the screen. That's super important to us. And we think it's super important to you. So don't miss the premiere of Hulu's newest original comedy series, Rami.
Yeah, because how many shows have you guys watched about just like a young person trying to figure out if they can love, but it's like all white people? You know you'll devour that shit. You know you'll stream the shit out of that and binge it and then tell all your friends. So at least in this way, you're getting it from a different perspective.
You know what? That's all we ask. Listen, all episodes are streaming starting April 19th. Again, 2 days from now or today or yesterday or a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on Hulu.
All on Hulu.
Wait, I have a. Have you? You've heard possibly some of my opinions about San Diego.
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I have not, but I wasn't raised there.
So got it.
Either way,
I'm just because my extended family is on is there, and I was trying to gesture to Marquis that we could get some of this conversation on mic, maybe make this a cold open of some kind.
There we go.
Well, I guess we're in the show now.
Andrew, that was so slick. I didn't even get your gesture. I was like, oh, he's just like referencing something that I don't get.
To plug the thing in.
We're just going to jump ahead of this. We got Marquis Richardson in the house. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm such a fan.
Yeah, thank you.
Listener.
Let's see, Marquis, actor, writer, you know.
Improviser.
Crackhead.
Oh, no.
Native.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're right. You're a native Los Angelino, right?
Yes, native Los Angelinos by way of Bellflower.
Ty.
What's Bellflower? I'm not from here originally, so I don't know.
I've been to Bellflower.
Exactly.
What the fuck is Bellflower?
It's a little crusty small town off the 91 freeway, 605 freeway, close to Long Beach, yep. Cerritos.
I didn't know the freeways went up that high.
They do. And there's other numbers too.
Okay.
That's crazy.
That's new information.
Yes.
I don't like that. Welcome. I'm good for about 2 digits tops.
Yeah, I want the 10.
Yeah.
5.
The 5.
Even the 101s. I prefer it would be a 99.
Yeah.
If we could max out a 99, I would feel a lot more comfortable.
I don't recognize zeros. I just call it the 11. This is ignorant ass LA freeway takes. Is that what you guys tune into this show for?
This is why
134.
We are here.
Marquis, what are you working on these days?
Oh my God.
Are you on the hustle? Are you currently booked?
Unemployed.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Well, not per the last call that I just got. We just finished. Season three.
You just took a business call. This was incredible. It was great.
I was very rude. I took the business call.
No, you were very nice.
Good Lord. Yeah. If we got a business call, we'd be out of the studio so fast.
I'd burn this building down if I got one business call.
Shit.
One business
I
call.
Love business calls.
That means business.
Business. Business is happening.
Is it something you can talk about yet? Or
I don't even know because I haven't
guessed
said
probably
yes.
not.
Okay, then don't.
Well, yeah, don't talk about that. I'll talk about the new thing.
It's about to shift my life. Just like in the immediacy of like packing and getting ready.
Yeah, doing shit.
If I say yes.
Sure.
So I think I'm saying yes, but whatever.
Options on the table.
Well, everyone, just by the time
you know what? Actually, listen, this is going to help your negotiations.
Yeah,
Marquis
yeah.
is not interested in this project, if anyone's listening.
Yeah.
Marquis will not do it for less than double what you've offered.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. He could take it or leave it, and he will leave it.
Yes.
Unless,
of course.
Like almost every job.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you feed him 3 square meals a day. Okay.
I will come.
Anyway, we're not great negotiators.
No.
I like it. Can y'all be my agents?
We kind of bad at this.
But you said you just finished season 3?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So just finished season 3 of a Netflix show called Dear White People.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was fun and draining in all the best ways. Then I have another show with TNT coming out during the summer called Tell Me Your Secrets.
Okay. Mm.
Tell Me Your Secrets.
Is it a drama?
It is a drama thriller. Drama thriller.
Wow.
Yeah.
Complete difference. I play like a small Tom. His name is Tom.
Small Tom.
Small Tom.
Oh, Small
Tom.
Tom's in the house. Hi, Small Tom.
What's up?
Oh, he's so small. He's so small. Hello. Hello, Tom. You play cop.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Complete shift.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Shot that last summer for the whole summer during hurricane season.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit.
In New Orleans.
Damn.
Oh, man. New Orleans is the fucking best. Although maybe the summer is the worst time in New Orleans.
I love it because it's
really?
Humid.
I can't handle the humidity.
I love it. It's so good for your skin.
And the hair.
It keeps us young.
Yeah, and you know.
Mm-hmm. I like staying wrinkly.
You like just staying dry, just raising
just
it up.
I'm a desert boy, I guess. Oh, it turns out.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I love the desert too. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just an outside kind of
gal.
Yeah,
you don't care.
As long as it's heat.
You don't care. Yeah.
I like the cold too, though. Now?
I'm weak.
At least you can admit it too.
Yeah,
to the coat.
Man.
Dear White People is such a success. Congrats on that. It's like so funny and so smart. And I mean, I loved the film and seeing that they were making a show, I was just like, yes, we need more of this. I've had a lot of white friends text me about it and being like, because things have been answered for them. Questions and things have been answered for them. And then they text me to let me know that they've become more enlightened by it. And I'm like, this is good. This is a service y'all are doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We're kindred spirits in that way.
Yeah. Just helping them out in a safe way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but helping safe out space. Those people.
Yes.
You know, we all know who we're talking about.
The ones.
Those people.
We know about them. Thank you. Thank
oh, my
you.
God.
Yeah.
I enjoy working on it.
I'm sure you get some wild questions and things.
You know what? Oddly enough, I don't know. People don't really throw too. The only things that I get on the internet are like people saying thank you.
And,
I get nice
things. Nobody's ever like came after me in a weird, you know.
She might be
are you on
a
the
different
fake
app.
Twitter?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Marquis, I think you're on a different app than what Andrew.
Do you think like the producers and like maybe your reps are just like, listen, like, we have to just secretly, here's what we're going to do. Yeah. We're just going to tell them only the good shit.
Imagine I if there so. Were Russian bot farms just for compliments.
That's who's coming after me, the Russian bots.
Yeah, get on that business plan.
Yeah.
Russian bots for compliments.
It's true.
Oh, my God.
But other castmates and whatnot, like, they've definitely seen, and especially our creator, Justin Simeon.
Yeah, you know, I've heard
specifically with
about
the bots.
That.
Like, it is a real thing.
It is a thing where, it's also like you become a target when you're, like, outspoken about any part of being a person of color. Absolutely. It's just like, but I mean, look, let's just say this. It's great. It's great that you don't see as much of the hate as exists.
Yeah.
And again, otherwise, it is because you have been put in a bird box by your representatives and the producer of the show, but that's not important. That's not important. The good part is still there. Let's fucking get a voicemail going. We can keep the conversation going however we want, but we should at least get a voicemail kick in.
It's my favorite part.
Yay.
Hi, Tawny, Andrew, and guest. I'm going to try to keep this under a minute. Someone I knew the other day said that their high school was, quote, 95% ghetto, end quote. And then when I said, yo, I think that's problematic, they went on to explain how their high school was near a project and had project. Young gang members being recruited or whatever. But to me, saying my high school was, quote, 95% ghetto has so much like coded language and intention that I couldn't at the time figure out how to put it into words to say, I think this might be problematic. So is this in fact racist? And how do I explain to my friend/acquaintance in a concise and understandable way? Thank you. Bye.
Oh,
I mean, that was fairly concise what she already said.
It was pretty concise.
Yeah.
Do you think here's a slight tangent? Do you think this show has encouraged too many white people to start off sentences with "yo" where they maybe shouldn't?
Yes.
And that is something that we can apologize for.
I maybe lump myself into that problematic thing too. I'm just like, I say "yo" a lot, and I maybe should cut back like 30%.
I like when people casually use it on our voicemails. I feel like we're in like the 90s. I feel like everybody's just like on a skateboard with a backwards hat,
hey,
boombox on their shoulder. You
don't
know?
Have a cow, racists.
Yeah.
I say yahoo.
Oh, I say man.
How do you feel, Marquis, about the word ghetto being thrown around?
Look, sometimes some shit is ghetto. However, if it's ghetto, it's ghetto. But I will say what stood out to me regarding the question was her thinking about what her friend's intention was and who her friend is, because intention means everything.
Yeah.
So I probably would have asked her, you know, I would have taken a second.
Yeah.
Create a space between myself and whatever rage I might have. Uh-huh. I was asking the question, whoever's saying the statement.
Yeah.
And just ask her, like, what do you mean by that? Explain.
Yeah.
You know?
And it sounds like she did go on to say, well, my high school was near a project.
One, just one.
Just one project. Just one project. I'm like, is it a noodle macaroni painting? What is it? Greenhouse?
It's just this shit where it's like so clearly black and brown people, mostly black people. Mm-hmm. Here's how I know. It's because the people that I know personally who are most, you know, gang affiliated are my two Chinese cousins who are both like aerospace engineers now, and they never got called ghetto, even though they were straight up literally in a gang. Yeah. They were literally in a gang, did all kinds of other shit that I'm not going to say on mic.
Damn, and now they're making rockets?
Yeah, literally.
That's the American dream right there.
But that, you know, I harp on this a lot, but that kind of is the American dream for Asian people, right? Because you can get away with shit like that. Mm-hmm. And like, a lot fewer black and brown kids getting away with shit like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Oh, God. So whenever people say ghetto, like whenever white people say ghetto, my brain just kind of like ticks a little bit. I seize up a little because I'm like, you just mean that there's black people around.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there, of course, there are such things as high schools that are in tough neighborhoods that were scary that mm-hmm. you went to, mm-hmm. regardless of color or socioeconomic, whatever. There are scary high schools everywhere. And there's a way to talk about that. I know, because when Black people talk about a high school they went to that was rough, we don't say, oh, I went to a high school that was really ghetto. Yeah. We go like, oh, shit, I went to this high school at this address. And like it was dangerous.
It was hood.
Yeah. You say hood. You say dangerous. You say it was frightening.
Metal detectors.
It was rough.
Yeah, rough.
I guess we are in that stage of the evolution of language. Where it's just I think, like even the word colored, right? Yeah. Or Negro, it's all on that spectrum.
Absolutely.
Honestly, it's the way some people say it, the word Black is on that spectrum.
Absolutely.
I feel like the ghetto and it's currently evolving. Because I feel in the, and maybe this is just me growing up around too many white people, but I feel in the 90s, people, it was less coded, but now it's, I'm just wrong.
Well,
actually, I'm just wrong.
People thought
don't
it
listen
was,
to me.
No, I think though there was a lot of evidence in media. I don't know if this is how actual Black people spoke, but I'm thinking of the BAPs and the movies of that ilk where they would have Black people saying the word ghetto a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Boys in the Hood.
And I think, I remember that language being thrown around more by Black people in media. And I don't know if that's not how the Black people that I knew were speaking.
Me either.
Yeah.
But, and maybe that's because it was still through this white Hollywood lens that we were seeing stuff. But that could send the message to all people, mainly white people, that that word is more acceptable, maybe.
Unfortunately.
Maybe it did. I don't know. But it's not now.
Yeah. I think it's just fucking like it or not, just tell your friend, don't say that shit.
Girl, don't say that shit.
Thank you.
Just like that.
That's a ringtone now.
There you go.
Girl, don't say that shit.
Did you know that you can actually get paid just for listening to this podcast?
I didn't know.
That's right. Tawny and I will come to your house and give you $50 to $500 depending on for every episode of Yo's This Racist. What?
That's a large range, first of all.
I wanted to keep it loose.
Yeah, you're right. Our show has been too structured and rigid.
That was all a joke. But this might sound insane, but it's true. You can do it, and by it we mean actually get paid for listening to this podcast, with a new free app called Podcoin.
It literally pays you to listen to podcasts. So before what we were doing about us coming to your house and giving you money was a funny joke.
Yeah,
but this is a real system. Here's how it works.
Yeah. Listen to podcasts and earn Podcoin while you listen.
Then turn that Podcoin in for gift cards at places like Amazon or Starbucks.
Or if you're a good person.
Which all of you are. All of our Wokey-Doke Nation are. Definitely good people.
You know what? I'm going to say this, though. You could also be a good person and just get the latte or whatever.
You could be a good person and you are entitled to do what you want with your money.
Yeah. And by money, we do mean Podcoin.
Yeah.
Capital P Podcoin. But you can also donate your Podcoin to charity.
You can do whatever you want. The more you listen, the more you earn.
Download the Podcoin app right now on iPhone or Android and use our code YO. You'll get 300 Podcoin just for signing up.
And if you listen to enough of us on Podcoin, you can get a cappuccino at Starbucks or an Amazon gift card on us. That's we came to your house and made your cappuccino.
Oh, no, I'm standing in your kitchen right now making everyone cappuccinos.
Look behind you.
Spooky. Listen to this podcast or virtually any other podcast on Podcoin.
But you should listen to ours. Why are we trying to pimp other podcasts, you know?
Just listen to
I know ours. We do it all the time. We're always telling people to listen to other podcasts.
We really are.
But
we really are.
We really, sometimes we don't want to talk about something and we're like, just go listen to this person
listen
talk about
to
it.
Us.
But for the purposes of this, listen to our podcast on Podcoin and sign up with the code YO to start earning today.
It will change the way you listen to podcasts. Let's do voicemail number 2.
Hi, guys. Here's my question. In my area of the country, people will often refer to Latinos, Latinas, Latinx people as Spanish, such as, is that girl Spanish? Or, oh, I met this Spanish girl. It really irks me every time I hear it because it feels super racist. And to me, it sounds really racist because none of these people are from Spain. But I don't really know. And then I heard my 90-year-old dad say it? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's so what do you think?
I don't know if I started. I just realized as this was playing, because you two are both West Coast people, I don't know if this is an East, because that feels like such a New York thing.
To say Spanish.
And the South, too.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Spanish.
Yeah, like it's a catch-all. As the way that people use Asian, I think people use Spanish. They think it's an umbrella term for Latinx people, which I don't know where it started.
Yeah,
because it's not.
It feels New York to me. It
does
feels it? Like it feels like right up there with Tim's in a Yankee hat, as you call anyone from Dominican to like Guatemalans to like Cubans, everyone's a Spanish.
Yeah.
Or Mexican. Like people say that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's totally not okay.
And I feel like when people say Mexican, some part of them thinks that they might be Mexican. Whereas no one thinks that these people are from Spain.
Right.
They think it's just like a catch-all. It's an okay catch-all term, right?
It's also like extra dark because it's like all that those people really have in common is they all got like colonized by Spain, which is so fucked up if you think about it. You're like, that's the real thread is like, well, we're just going to call. Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay, it was at the point of a fucking musket and a sword. And that's why they're all Spanish now. Yeah.
We're all Spanish.
We're
all
Spanish. Oh, boy. Just out of context. I'm just stepping in it today. I don't know what
I'm
saying.
Oh, you think people are going to clip out your audio and hold your foot to the fire when you get a big job somewhere?
Please do it.
Business call.
Oh, God.
What do you, I don't know, what do you say to people who just mislabel people?
Don't do that.
I mean,
what is the?
Yeah, I think.
What is your intention?
I think it's fair to be like, the fuck does Spanish mean to you?
Yeah, like, ask them.
That one is one that's like a little bit like the ghetto question, although that one has probably a darker ending. But like, just be like, why do you Spanish? And then their answer is going to be like, that's just how we say it in the Bronx. And you know what? This is why it's a New York thing, guys. I
see what you're saying about the New York thing, where it almost feels like
how does it do in the South?
In the South, like how she described it. Like, I think she's talking about Texas or something. I'm thinking specifically of my friends from Texas who kind of grew up using it as a catch-all. Not everybody, but.
Wow, I really did not know that was a thing. Shit.
Huh.
Learn something new every time we.
Well, people, let us know where this
log into Yosa's Racist.
Tweet at us and let us know. Maybe I just know some weird Texans, but
it's possible. I don't know. Do you have habits like that? I feel like I must have habits like that. I guess I say white people all the time.
Without
they white, ain't they?
Yeah,
they white.
That's a thing they created for themselves. Yep. I'm just referring to them. Now, shout out to all our. Let's say Slovenian friends.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm bringing this probably would be better served in the news section, but I'm just going to bring it up now because it's kind of evergreen. We did get on the Twitter this like, you know, British guy gave. I actually just went ahead and blocked him, but man, I might unblock him to try to find the tweets. But he was just like, you people claim to be for social justice, but I've heard you use xenophobic language against Canadians and the British. It's like, I thought I was coming here for an intelligent, cogent conversation, but your anti-British xenophobia.
Oh boy!
It's like, oh,
how did you
feel are
about
beyond
that?
Help, motherfucker. Yeah. If you are worried that us making a joke about Canadians.
Yeah, or like the entire conglomerate that is the United Kingdom. Like, he's not even saying English people or what. He's like, the British.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Just fucking.
Absolutely what?
It's tough right now.
And you know? I did not actually intend for this to be an actual segue, but we did one. Here we go. This is relevant to the next question.
Andrew, Tony, guest. I'm a white American of Scottish descent, and I was chatting with an Asian American at a bar about how much we both liked wearing kilts. Huh. He was a self-proclaimed Anglophile, and I view kilts as part of my cultural heritage despite being very American. My question is, where does cultural appreciation end, and where does cultural appropriation begin? I also like Japanese culture, but it would be problematic for me to wear a yukata or a kimono just because I liked them, right?
You right. You absolutely fucking right.
So when I said this to the thread, producer Zig was like, I can't wait to hear you roast this caller. But I'm gonna take a, we can roast the caller in a second. I just want to take a quick sidebar. to the Asian guy. Motherfucker, Asian Anglophiles? What's fucking wrong with you? They destroyed fucking... Oh. Asian people that are out here caping for the goddamn British Empire is the worst shit on fucking earth. What is wrong with you? The worst empire that did the most damage to Asia, full stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess besides other Asian people, but let's not get into that. Let's not get into that.
Mikey, your noise in the middle of this will get me through difficult times. That,
Oh. Yeah, my thought behind that was just like, a breeze. I felt a breeze come up my
up your kilt,
up my the
kilt,
goalies.
You know, that I am wearing right now, appropriating, I guess.
It's to me, I'm just like, I'm just gonna say possibly the thing that's not, well, whatever. Kilt shit is so whack to me that I'm like, all this, like, I mean, you know what it is? This is just still tagging on to my previous thing, which is like, I hate fucking like all Anglophilia, like British Isles love. Anyway, I'm looking forward to maybe going to London Podcast Festival again. But the important thing is that shit is like, just have a context for it. Like, how much do you really love that shit? And frankly, how much of that is just about embracing whiteness or your vision of whiteness? Oh, I'm still mad at the... Why am I more mad at the Asian guy?
Well,
that's my tagline. Why am I more mad at the Asian guy?
It is a little weird. As someone who... I went with my mom to find her Scottish tartan. Nice. My mom is Scottish. She's very into it. It's not for me. I was happy she had a thing she liked, but I was just kind of like, okay, like all this like super white shit, getting like the tartan thing particularly was tough because it's like, you know, you get a specific tartan for your family's lineage and there are all these different patterns and shit. And I was just like, man, and I can't get like not one slave record to tell me like where my black people are from. Everyone asks me what my last name is. And I'm just like, I don't know, slavery. I don't know.
Slavery. Yeah.
And they're like, but what were those people? English? I'm like, I don't fucking care what they were
Who cares?
Right. But then, you know,
that's such a sick part of this. It's like,
I know.
You should know the etymology of the people who enslaved the ancestry of the people who enslaved your goddamn ancestors.
Oh, yeah. I'll have people who straight up say, like, if I answer it's from slavery, I don't know where it's from, they'll be like, oh, but did you ever want to find out? Is it English? It sounds English or maybe Welsh. I'm like, I don't care who these people were.
Do you think a Welsh slave master is better than an English slave master? I'm just curious.
I mean, actually, they're going to be more laid back and the, you know, prices for restaurants will be cheaper in my experience. shout out to Wales. I love that place.
Yeah, we love Wales.
But yeah, but my mom is Scottish, but that's not my shit. You know, it's not me. I'm just like, okay, great. You get to do it. So I think that's why you're more mad at the Asian guy. Cause it's like, it's not your shit, dude.
Yeah.
Why are you
it's the opposite
here?
Of your shit. Those are your enemies. I mean, again, maybe. And then it's more complicated because it's like Scottish people do hate English people, right? Mm-hmm. There's all that intra-island shit where you're like,
why?
You're all white now.
Yeah. Y'all own everything.
Yeah.
Everybody.
It's your fault that you went too far and had to give up so much shit.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Fuck you. Anyway, so I guess though to the caller, it's like one of those things. It's like, what are you supposed to say? There's no cultural appreciation on my part because I'm like, fuck all this whack shit.
Okay, I'll provide the nice side of it, which is like, your ancestry is Scottish. I get why you're into it. That's like my mom. I understand wanting to have a connection to things. I wish I knew what country I'm from.
Son,
yeah.
I wish.
Yeah.
It was something on the West Coast.
I tried.
Oh, boo.
It had to be something over there because, as Kara Brown put it, nobody was crossing the continent. I'm not from Madagascar. So I'd love to know. So congratulations to the Asian guy. I don't know how you got started talking about this. Like, at a bar, that's a weird conversation. A
couple shots.
But frankly, it does sound like cultural appreciation between the two of you. Because
again. Right, but that guy's whack, but yeah.
He's whack, but like, whatever. You're having a conversation about a thing you both appreciate. It all sounds fine. Don't wear that kimono or yukata in public, though, boy. Don't do that.
Yeah, and look, it's just like, again, if white people hadn't spread their culture forcibly around the globe, maybe they, you know, then maybe fewer people would be, quote unquote, appropriating that shit.
Colonize us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You made people wear, you know, what else? You know, it's like wearing like a traditional Western suit and tie. Guess what? You made people wear that shit.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be wearing that by choice.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All over the world.
Tiny sidebar. Did you guys ever, have you guys ever been to like a I think the term is West Coast black tie event.
No, but I've been to many black tie events on the West Coast.
So
what did you wear?
Did you wear like a tux or something?
I wore a black tie.
So the one time I got invited to a thing at my old job, a thing I was very peripherally involved with, got nominated for the smaller Emmy, the Creative Arts Emmys. But I got to go to the fucking award ceremony, and on like they were like West Coast black tie, and I was like, what does this actually mean? So I looked it up, West Coast black tie, and I think I maybe have talked about it on the podcast before, but it's been a while. Of course, you can do regular black tie, like, you know, tux and ball gowns and whatever. But there's an asterisk at the bottom, and there's two sort of loopholes. Because West Coast black tie, I think it's for entertainment industry. And it's like, essentially, you can basically wear kind of anything you want as long as it's expensive. That's why, like, Billy Ray Cyrus can wear, like, $1,000 denim jeans, you know, whatever or whatever. Another loophole is you can wear a thing. And this might actually be fully in regular black tie. You can wear a thing, you can wear what's broadly refers to as national costume, which, and if you look on Wikipedia, that's basically wherever you're from, the quote unquote formal wear from that time, but also this shit was all like codified in like the 1800s or probably less, so it's all like basically like a racist British person's list of what they think the races are. But it also includes like in America, for the Americas, national costume is like you can wear a coonskin cap and like a buckskin jacket, but then everything else is like, you know, just like a, you know, the African national garb is racist, the Asian one is racist, like it's all like a parody of what like they think that these people are like. It's okay. Amazing. Anyway,
wearing potato sacks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, is that what you're wearing? Chains. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that your national costume?
I'm saying we bring that back. National costume for your next awards show.
Marquis and I are wearing full plantation chic.
Yeah. I'm gonna wear like
12 years,
just like slave. Just gonna dress as Dr. Fu Manchu.
I support it.
You know,
I support it. I
grew up in Vacaville, California. So I guess I'm going to dress myself in onions and bad public schools.
Yeah. Just maybe a little bit of meth. Not the most meth. Just
not the most
but
meth.
A little bit of meth.
What's
some bam?
What's bell flower?
What, dirt. Dust.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably some old Patrick Ewing had a shoe. And I had two versions of them. Two pairs. Different years.
Yep.
One in, I think it was like fourth grade, and then one maybe in sixth grade.
Okay.
And that was my whole utility shoe. Like it was my track shoe. It was my school shoe. It was my basketball shoe. Basketball. Did I?
Ewing
church shoe.
Ewing's and dust.
Ewing's and dust.
All right, we all got our outfit. Everyone feels pretty good about it. Yeah. Shit, yeah. Marquis Richardson, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for shit. Thank you for having me.
Did it fly? It
flew by so quick.
Oh my god, I know.
I didn't even finish my glass of water.
That's how you know.
He's gonna do that on mic right now.
Yeah, just chug, delicious. Chug.
Oh,
all the
water.
ASMR heads are going nuts for this.
He really did it. We just hurt our guest. This is bless you.
I was gonna turn my head away.
No,
y'all need to have that.
It's
full
all
experience.
Part of the radio drama.
Man, good water. Y'all got good water here.
Thank you.
We tried.
It was very expensive.
It's so good.
Marquis, tell people where they can see, hear, read more of you, etc.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I guess we start with the Instagram. People talk about Instagram.
Yep.
Silky
yep.
Rich. Silky spelled like silk and with a Y at the end. And
I'm actually gonna write this down so we can make sure to tag you correctly.
Uh-huh. Rich with three eyes. That's Instagram, all the platforms, whatever. Then you got Dear White People coming out. Woo. I imagine sometime this year, season 3. Tell Me Your Secrets, TNT, coming out June this year. And then whatever job that I beg, may or may not take
yeah.
Business call.
Goodness, everyone sends good thoughts.
Keep staring at your television set, and eventually Marquis will arrive.
I will show
it
up.
It will be on the show.
Thank you
so much. Yeah, of course, for a check.
Or food. Please get him food. This is our last rallying cry for this job.
I'm hungry.
Get him fed.
That
get him
food.
More money. And get him probably his own car.
I'll take
buy him a car.
Just a driver. I'll take a driver.
Yeah.
Great.
Everywhere.
Frankly, A generous amount of Lyft credits is on the table. It's on the table. We're not, you know what? You shouldn't let us negotiate for you. All right. Please.
Mark, is there anything else you want to promote?
Yeah, we actually, when I say we, the cast and crew of Dear White People, we started a scholarship fund for Jordan Edwards, who's a child who was murdered by a police officer, black boy murdered by the police in Dallas, Texas, on the weekend, April 29th, that our first season premiered. So we created an endowment with the University of Alabama, raised about $100,000 through donations from the world. So thank y'all for that. For more information, the website is the Jordan Edwards Memorial Scholarship. .com. You can find information about him, about his life, and you can also make a donation. So we should have our first scholarship recipient chosen by June.
Oh, that's so amazing. Exciting.
Yeah.
And we'll be sure to link to
that.
Yeah,
we'll have a link to that, but that's amazing.
That's really cool. So you're choosing your first scholarship recipient. What's the age of the people that get the scholarship?
Yeah, it's incoming freshmen.
Oh, okay.
It'll be one or two incoming freshmen from Mesquite, Texas, hit the area where Jordan grew up. So we partnered with his family, and they came up with the idea, and we just wanted to help. So
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's so great.
Cool thing to do as a cast,
but
too.
Yeah,
because, it's a movement.
Yeah. And also, it's one of those things where it's like, use your power, for some good.
Right.
Because, why else do we do this?
Right.
Yeah.
Stupid job.
Yeah. Art can be activism.
Yeah.
And your show is already doing so much.
Yeah.
So it just falls right in line with, doing more. Everyone should do more.
Do what we can.
Yeah, all absolutely. We can,
so. That's very cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank y'all.
Okay, we're back.
We are here. I am still in a corner.
You really, Tawny, I gotta let you get back to your vacation. Thanks for calling on all the way from the Caribbean.
Yeah, no, I recognize my immense privilege being able to be on vacation and still be able to hang with you guys and talk about the ills of our stupid fucking delightful country.
The nightmare does continue at all times. But no, let's see. The important thing again, the Jordan Edwards Memorial Scholarship.com. Thanks again to Marquis Richardson for being such a fucking delight on the show.
Yeah, cool guy. Check out Dear White People, that show, if you haven't already. Where have you been? That show is great.
It would be, what do you think the Venn diagram of people who don't watch that show and listen to this show is?
It can be big. I don't know how ratios work. But what we're saying is, you probably know about the show. But counterpoint, there's so much TV right now. I meet so many people who are just like, what? Modern Family is a show? And I'm like, who are you? Like, you don't have to watch it, but you have to know that it exists. But there's a lot of TV happening, is what I'm saying.
True. But yeah, let's see. What else do we say? Call in 323-389-7223. Leave your questions. Good questions these days. People are getting the 1 minute note pretty well.
You guys are doing a good job. You're good rule followers.
Everyone, yeah. That's what we'd like out of listeners, obedience. What the fuck else? That's it.
Podswag.com/yo. Get our pins that are really cute. Get our fun t-shirts. I'm wearing one on vacation as a sleep shirt because the cotton is oh so soft.
It's very comfortable. Very comfortable shirts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Tronny Newman, Andrew T, Yo, Is This Racist? It's a nice problem to have, but the fact that so many of you listen to this fucking show and don't follow us, what's up? I'm better on Twitter. I'm going to tell you that right fucking now.
He's really good.
Am I?
You're good on Twitter. I'm not lying. This child is back. I feel like I have to find out what's wrong with him.
Okay. Get out of here. Have some more rum, Tawny. I'll see you in the studio next week.
Okay,
have a safe trip. Bye. 43% of college grads work underpaying jobs that don't require a degree, while 200,000 tech jobs go unfilled in high-growth industries across the United States.
Flatiron School can give you the skills to build a career you love.
With courses in software engineering, data science, and UX, User experience slash UI, user interface design. Nice. Good. Andrew, perfect job so far. Flatiron helps students succeed in the modern workforce.
Learn more at flatironschool.com/yo.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins is crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.